From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of the Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Everywhere you look, Mexican revolutionary imagery is in the air. In the new film, Frida. On the walls in Santa Barbara, where a restored mural by Siqueiros was recently unveiled. In Day of the Dead celebrations right about now. I keep thinking I'm going to run into Silvestre Revueltas. Just at the time that muralists Rivera, Siqueiros, and Orozco were splashing epic pictures of Mexican history on the walls in the 20s and 30s, their colleague Revueltas was putting the sound of Mexico into his concert music. What made it revolutionary?
It was a very rich moment for Mexico.
Max Lifschitz, pianist and composer, is founder of the North-South Consonants.
It was the first time in Mexican history after 300 years of colonization and 100 years of wars in the 19th century that artists in Mexico saw folk material and the traditional material, pre-Hispanic material of Mexico, as basis for their art.
In 1921, for the first time ever, the post-revolutionary Mexican government had put writer José Vasconcelos in charge of culture with a healthy budget for the arts.
And one of the charges that Vasconcelos had was to create a national art form in painting, in writing, in music, in dance.
Silvestre Revueltas had been born into all of this on the last day of the 19th century, December 31st, 1899. And he came of age in the 20s, just as this explosion of indigenous art and culture was beginning. In the 30s, he began to compose in earnest, mixing art and politics.
If you read the reviews of his music at the time, the critics didn't know what to say.
Tania León is a composer and conductor. The music that confused the critics, she says, attracted the public.
This music represented populist sounds and expressions of Mexico. This is one of the reasons why they just went crazy with his music and declare him the biggest composer in Mexico.
Revueltas didn't lift Mexican melodies directly from folk tunes. He evoked the style by inventing his own. By the mid-30s, he was composing at a furious pace, and he was chairman of the League of Revolutionary Writers and Artists. Among its members, the three great muralists, Rivera, Siqueiros, and Orozco, Frida Kahlo, and poet Octavio Paz. The music continued to deliver, artfully, the message of the moment.
La Coronela. It's about the Mexican Revolution.
Giselle Bendor is the conductor of the Santa Barbara Symphony. She was the designer and conductor of a four-day Revueltas festival during his centennial celebration in 1999.
It's about a satirical description of the upper classes, and at the end it's the fight. It's the struggle. The language there is ferocious. And at the same time, you have the mariachi music. All of a sudden, when they declare victory, it's almost like taken from the tavern or the street.
And there is La Noche de los Mayas, the Night of the Mayas.
And in that last movement, there are 11 percussion instruments, including a seashell, a huge seashell, that's never used in an orchestra. It's not even considered an orchestral instrument. But the sound is like of a demented French horn. There's something frightening about it.
If there's one work by Revueltas that one might know, it's Sensamaya, Song of the Killing of a Snake.
There is this obsessive hypnotic rhythm. And slowly he builds it, not much differently from the way Ravel builds the bolero, by layers and layers of sound. It is rhythmically thrilling, as much as a lot of music by Stravinsky.
And so much of this is completely undiscovered. While he was writing in the 30s, America knew of Rav Weltis's music. Aaron Copland, serving as a kind of cultural ambassador, traveled back and forth quite a bit from the U.S. to Mexico and befriended Rav Weltis. Copland even brought back his own piece, El Salón México. And if you listen to Rav Weltis in his more lyrical moments, you can hear that the influence went both ways. Silvestre Rav Weltis ultimately became a tragic figure. He followed his politics to Spain, joining the multitudes traveling to fight Franco in the Spanish War in 1937, came back exhausted, and descended into alcoholism.
All of that comes precisely out of the realization that the whole movement that was going to become this incredible thing to save the world sort of like collapsed for him.
Tanya León.
Because he realized that what they were expecting through communism or socialism or whatever you want to call it was not really going into the direction that he felt it should have gone.
Rav Weltis died at age 40 of physical symptoms related to alcohol. For a long time, his music was completely ignored, especially after World War II.
But many, many of us knew that Rav Weltis existed, and we have cherished his scores at home like a nice and kept secret.
You'd think a prolific, revolutionary, tortured composer who fought in Spain and died a young man would have long ago reached Frida Kahlo cult status, wouldn't you? At least a movie starring Antonio Banderas, or at least a place in the standard repertoire. Some people, like Gisele Ben-Dor, are working on that.
I think we're beginning to understand what connects things rather than what separates them.
What Rav Weltis wanted to do was to portray his people, to portray the common folk of everyday Mexico in his music. And in many ways, that's the ideal nationalistic art. You're putting the common folk music on a pedestal. And that's what he was doing, I think.
Now, as images of Mexico surround us, perhaps the pedestal is finally reserved for him. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to the Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.